After 23 years of theological study, I'm increasingly convinced that it takes a patristic scholar to understand the Ascension. Here's the hymn of one. Christopher Wordsworth, the nephew of the famous poet William Wordsworth. Unfortunately, in a hymn not in the Lutheran worship, but in the TLH, one of the clearest signs of our devolution in liturgy in the Missouri Synod. Thou hast raised our human nature on the clouds to God's right hand. There we sit in heavenly places, there with thee in glory stand. Jesus reigns, adored by angels. Man with God is on the throne. Mighty Lord, in thine ascension, we by faith behold our own. Of course, it didn't begin that way. Luke tells us also how it began. When the heavens were opened on a dark night in the hills of Judea, and the majesty of heaven shone upon the poor, the shepherds. Heaven joined with earth that night. And they saw that union of heaven and earth in a baby who had assumed human flesh so that that could be the direct expression of precisely the heavenly glory. The heavenly majesty was a man. The heavenly might and the heavenly power was a human. This human was for us. He showed his might not just as a human, but as a human for humans. A human for humans, a man for men, was God for us. And so the story of the heavenly might and the heavenly glory, the almighty majesty and power, revealed itself in a sacrifice for the life of the world, in a death. And God, by his grace, raised him up from the dead, revealing the real meaning and content of that death. That in that death, God's life, indeed human life intended by God, had been revealed. That's also the point of the Ascension. I remember in my days at the University of Oklahoma, one of my theological conversations there with my perpetual Baptist friends, an argument over the meaning of the Ascension. My friend was convinced that it meant that Jesus was away. He was gone. Up there in heaven, leaving us, as it were, to do the obedience of his commandments, under the power, to be sure, of the Holy Spirit. He didn't buy my argument that Jesus rather now continued to be amongst us, and we in him, in a new status, a status where we have been drawn in also to be the very images and the very expressions of the heavenly majesty. It's true. That's what the text just read says. What does it look like to be exalted? If you're fans of TBN, such as I am, you will know a very popular image. To be exalted, in fact, means earthly welfare and power and glory, maybe prosperity, all kinds of things, success. It's not what it looks like. But he does also open our understanding, the eyes of our mind to see. And he tells us what we then shall see and what we then shall hear. We shall hear the preaching precisely of Christ the crucified and redeemed and resurrected, the basis of the Scriptures. You know, it occurred to me as I was reflecting for this little message that one important aspect of our hermeneutical discussions had been lost, at least not voiced. Namely, that precisely the Christological cross-resurrection centrality and all-encompassing meaning of the text of the Scriptures is itself an expression of Christ's ascension. To read the Scriptures, to preach the Scriptures of Jesus the crucified for the forgiveness of sins, that's ascension. Because that lifts people up from sin to forgiveness, from death to life. Mary had already sung it. He who cast down the proud from their thrones, and exalts the humble. That's ascension. So, of course, is the missiological outreach of the church unto all the world, so that they too may be lifted up into the might of God. And, of course, it is to worship. That's where, in fact, Luke leaves us off. They saw him into heaven, and what did they do? They were in the temple, praising God with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. We laud and glorify your name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, holy, holy. It remains a remarkable claim. We see heaven precisely in the church's worship. We are in heaven precisely in the church's worship. But there's one more thing to say. If the whole story began in that dark night, when heaven joined itself to us in a man, ascension reminds us, as Christopher Wordsworth says, that in the ascension of Christ, we are not left behind so that we are here and he is there, but rather that we are there with him. We have been assumed up in him into the heavenly glory. And now what? Precisely that we might go and be the ambassadors of the heavenly might unto our neighbor in the world. We express our exaltation in the expression of the forgiveness of sin. And indeed, not only in the pastoral temple of the church's liturgy, but in our life with our neighbors and our families and our friends. We show ourselves even as Christ, to be exalted in lifting up the poor in heart and soul. It was, in fact, an old patristic saying, only the high can lift up the lowly. Only God can lift up the sinner. Only the living can give life to the dead. So ascension is not just the end of the story. It is precisely our story as Christians. To live in Christ and with Him, the life of Christ in the world. When we then confess that Jesus is Lord, we're speaking of ourselves. Jesus reigns, adored by angels. Man with God is on the throne. Mighty Lord, in thine ascension, we by faith behold our own. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.